This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Dr. Cara Sweat from the University of Canterbury. She brings everything she knows about families and children, which is heaps. And today, we're especially going to be looking at parental burnout. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. Yay, having you here.
Yay, thanks for having me.
You're really welcome. So tell me about you.
Yeah. Kia ora, my name's Cara Sweat. I wear two hats in life, and I say my first big hat is being the mama and the amazing wife that I am to my husband and daughter, Alex, and Frankie is 2.5 years old. Mm. I say all the emotions and no idea what to do with them. So it's a really, it's a tough season, isn't it, toddlerhood? So it really grounds me as a researcher, being a mum of a toddler. And then my other big hat that keeps me very busy is I'm a senior lecturer at the University of Canterbury. It's part of the Faculty of Health, and I work with an awesome team as part of the Child and Family Psychology program there.
So what took you into that field?
My background is in educational and developmental psychology. And my initial research and practice was working with children who had quite aggressive and challenging behaviours. And so I've never been a person who's just focused on child behaviour. There's so much that happens around child behaviour, right? Parents, teachers, lots of things going on. It's complex. And so through that, I've become really interested in trying to understand as much as I can about families and what it's like to raise healthy, strong families in contemporary society today. And so you sort of can't unknow what you know, right? Mm. You can't ignore the fact that parental burnout and parental well-being more generally impacts child behaviour, and child behaviour impacts those things. And so it's complex. Everything's bidirectional and whatnot. And so child and family psychology for me is really encompasses and allows me to study and understand all of those things. And then also at the university level, to share that knowledge with our younger generations of people who want to go work with children and family.
Yeah, that's a, you just actually summarised the complexity of being a modern parent really well in that, because there's a lot going on, including what you acknowledged, our work as well. You know, not always, but everything is work, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it is, you know, I think it isn't until you start thinking about everything and all the pieces of the puzzle, it's complex. And then when you think about parenting on top of that, parenting is constantly changing. Every season changes infancy, toddlerhood, you know, school age. And, you know, people, I sort of say to parents when I'm talking to them, parenting doesn't ever get easier. It just changes because it's different.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the likes of media and technology and, you know, just other changes in our society, the expectations of parents in terms of work, the cost of living crisis and the need to have to work more, you know, it changes our families. It changes the dynamics in our families and the way we parent. And we sort of can't ignore that.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't.
Yeah.
We shouldn't.
Parental burnout is a thing.
It is a thing, and I'm so glad that we're talking about it, because it's been a thing for a really long time, but it wasn't really until COVID happened that we started paying a little bit more attention.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, parental burnout more generally is relatively new in the research field.
Okay.
You know, we've predominantly studied job burnout, right?
Yeah.
Job burnout and parental burnout are two very different things.
Okay.
If you don't like your job, you're feeling burnt out by that, you can actually make the decision to up and leave and find something else that serves you.
Yeah, even though that's hard. Yeah,
even though that is hard. Yeah. But it is a choice. With parenting, you don't have that same choice, do you? And so, you know, when those additional demands and that heightened demand and stress was put on parents during COVID to become not just the parent, but the working at home parent while looking after my child and also homeschooling them while also trying to keep them healthy, and all those sorts of things, juggling all those balls, we actually came to understand that the demands on parents today are really high. They always have been. But COVID exacerbated that very much so.
Interesting.
So it's good that we've got more attention to it.
Totally.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So, Cara, what is parental burnout? What is it?
So in the research, we define it as a state of physical, emotional and mental exhaustion parents can experience due to raising a child, the demands of raising a child. It's not just the typical stress and fatigue that we feel. It's the, you know, you have a really good solid night of sleep and you still wake up feeling completely exhausted. Okay. Sleeping doesn't make you feel better. Complete overwhelm, you know, daily parenting tasks just feel completely insurmountable, even small activities and tasks feel like a real challenge. Mm-hmm. We also see parents who report feeling burnt out from parenting have this emotional detachment from their child. So they might feel emotionally distant, not have that same emotional connection that they once had. Irritability.
like beyond mine.
Yes. You know, just the, it's, and I mean, that's the thing, like, it's tricky, right? Because some of the stress and the pressures, they're just of life. We, you know, these are consequences of those. But really sort of around that parenting, you know, when you're actually parenting your child and you're feeling these things, perhaps maybe what you're experiencing is parental burnout. I have had the absolute privilege of being part of the International Consortium on Parental Burnout. So we've got 52 countries who are speaking to parents about parental burnout and their personal experiences of what it's like for them. And some of the words that I hear from parents who self-identify as experiencing burnout is that parenting is relentless, that it's a joyless grind. And, you know, when you hear these things, you just think parenting brings joy but can also be really tough. And those things aren't contradictory. You can feel those two things at the same time. Mm. But for parents who experience constant parental burnout, that joy is really lost. And that's why it is, you know, they describe it as this joyless grind. It's not something that they can feel joy in anymore. So it's really sad. All of the parents that I've had the privilege of speaking to, though, have found support and have been able to find that joy back in parenting again.
But. Yeah, I was going to say, because is this, you know, recognised if I went to my GP?
Mm. Really interesting question, right? Because I think and it depends on how up to date, perhaps maybe the professional that you're reaching out to.
Yeah.
Because as a society, we've somewhat come to normalise and expect parenting to be hard and, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally exhausting. That doesn't mean it's okay, though, right? It's like we're supposed to just
suck it up.
That's right. Mm. And so I think perhaps maybe old school professionals who don't necessarily, you know, who take that view that we should just suck it up might not see it as.
Yeah.
You know, so some examples of.
They might see us as, you know, having parenting problems.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Like we can't control our kid.
Quite.
But no, we've had, I'm just recalling some of the alternative diagnoses that some of our parents who have experienced parental burnout have had, and chronic fatigue, depression, anxiety.
Yeah.
And some of those things can co-occur, right?
Yeah.
You can have be clinically experiencing depression or anxiety and also feeling burnt out as well. But there are parents who don't have those clinical levels of other mental health challenges who are just experiencing parental burnout. Yeah, there's a whole host of words that professionals use to describe what parents are feeling. And I think if they're going to a therapist and they're speaking about some of their challenges, only one of the parents that we actually spoke to about their experience, the therapist said, what you're experiencing is parental burnout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's not, in the professional space and also within our society, it's not a common term that we use.
Mm.
And let's hope that changes by doing things like this, talking about it. Mm.
So if I was somebody listening to this and I'm going tick, tick, tickety tick, those things are actually true for me. There's no joy in my parenting. I'm totally fatigued and overwhelmed. And this is ongoing for me. And what would I do?
Yeah. So I want to say you need to, seek professional help.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I also am mindful that we have a mental health crisis here in this country, and it's not easy to access mental health support.
Yeah.
One of the things that, I absolutely love about my job, Anna, is that when I speak to parents about the hard stuff, like parental burnout, how they're feeling, all those sorts of things, that is often very therapeutic for them.
Great.
Just that process of talking without judgment and holding space to acknowledge that this stuff is hard and it's okay that it's hard. It doesn't mean you're bad at it. It's just hard. And so if I think it's about finding your people, finding your peeps, your support network. Who are your people that you can draw on to be able to have some of these conversations about the hard stuff without judgment? And we've got enough judgment out there as parents, right?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about these things and just say, I feel completely and utterly exhausted, and know that you're not going to have people who say to you, well, go have a rest.
Yeah, or you're not having enough vitamins.
Yeah. Exactly. In my experience, solidarity is so powerful, sometimes even more powerful than solutions.
Yeah.
Because you might not see that there's actually solutions. It's hard to change parenting. I mean, you're doing your best.
Yes.
You're juggling a job, a 9-to-5 job, pickup, parenting, cooking. You're juggling all the balls. You don't know how to change that. Perhaps maybe it can't even be changed. But knowing that there's other people who are going through the same thing as you and they're finding it tough, that's solidarity. And that can be really powerful in our experience when we're working with parents, knowing that there's other people in the waka with you.
It's one of the most common experiences we hear from parents that we work with inside of groups, or even one-on-one, but inside of groups, this kind of like recognition that they're not the only one.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most powerful point.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Totally agree. And it's the, we have so much to learn from each other as well.
Yeah. And we're supposed to be social beings. We're supposed to be learning from others in terms of our parenting and watching them and then being able to hand our child over when things are tough,
So I also study, as you know, I also study media and technology and families. And we're seeing quite a unique generation of parents now, because we aren't digital natives ourselves, i.e. we didn't grow up with technology, right?
Mm.
And so we don't have the wisdom to draw from our own parents' parenting of us, because they didn't need, our parents didn't parent us in a world immersed in technology.
Yes, quite.
Right? We were often, teenagers, early 20s once technology came in. And so we were fairly autonomous and independent, I'd like to hope, by then. Parents today, though, so we don't have that wisdom to draw off from parents, yet our children today are completely immersed in technology.
Mm.
And we are also, as parents and adults, so absorbed and overwhelmed by technology as well, right? So we're juggling those two things. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, I've in this recent international study, I've actually blended my two interests in parental well-being and in specifically parental burnout and media. And I'm constantly surprised at how many parents say that they go to social media for advice about parenting.
Google it.
But even Instagram and TikTok, it's a really big thing, right?
Okay, great. So we need to have a look on TikTok for some advice. I'm so sorry, I shouldn't
but
be
it
laughing.
But it goes to the point that you say, right, we are inherently social. We need to sit down with our friends, with our support people, with our peeps and talk about these things rather than going online and seeking out that information from complete strangers who we know post the final best version.
And we don't know what their background is either. Like, often I am searching to find out whether or not that is true, real, correct, you know?
Yeah. You know, so I think that component as well is disconnecting us even further, which makes that solidarity and feeling supported outside of the mental health system, like, you know, within that village that we're supposed to be creating for our children and for our families, that media platform is even further disconnecting us from it.
More isolating as a result. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm not anti-media at all. I mean, we live in a world where, you know, where media is here to stay. But it's about using it for the right reasons and for reasons that serve you, that fill your cup, that, you know, make you feel good after you've used it. Typically, when I speak to parents, after they've scrolled on TikTok for 10 minutes about trying to find parenting advice, they feel pretty crappy about themselves, right? So it's not serving them. Whereas if they were sitting with their mate having a coffee and talking about these things, it's more likely to probably fill up their cup.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so I think it's just, and sometimes it's just about that awareness. It's about reminding yourself, you know, is this serving you? How's it making you feel? And being consciously aware of those things throughout the day.
And it feels brave talking about what's not feeling right or not going right or going well for us, particularly because we're so forced into this world that looks so perfect all of the time. But actually, it's that thing about if I say it, you're almost guaranteed that the person that you're talking to is going to have the same experiences too.
Yeah. So one of the things that I often hear parents say to me when I talk to them about the hard stuff is they'll end the conversation with things like, thank you so much for talking to me about this. I think about this all the time, but I've never spoken to anyone about it. And you just think, if you're thinking about it all the time, like, it's up there, it's important. Yeah. Why aren't we having these conversations? What are we so fearful of that prevents us, that's the barrier from us having these conversations? And that's where I want to normalise it. I want to normalise having these conversations that parenting is bloody hard. And it doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. It just is hard.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we need to grin and, you know, bear it, right? Mm-hmm. And just go through this joyless grind. There are things that actually we can do. And by talking about it, it's that solidarity, normalising that this is hard, but there are things that we can do to make it better.
So that would be, so talking about this, talking about anything, I think is really important, particularly with that point that you made when it's top of mind, when it's, when something is top of mind. That's what we tell all of our team. If it's top of mind, you need to be talking about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that I would be doing in order to support myself when I'm concerned about my own parental burnout?
So self-care. So one of the things that I typically start with when I talk to parents is around, what are your non-negotiables? And I define non-negotiables as, you know, if going to the movies every Wednesday night is your thing and that's really important to you, you schedule that, just like you schedule drop-off and pick-up. All those sorts of things, it becomes a non-negotiable. What I found quite interesting is that how many parents really aren't quite sure what fills their cup these days and what their non-negotiables are.
Yeah, agreed. It's like where, you know, when you ask the question, what is it that brings you joy? Mm. People get stumped, yep. like they're forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your go-to? I always think back to when you were a child and you were playing. What were the elements of that that you really enjoyed? You know, what was the things, you know, what were you doing?
Mm.
Because it feels like we can recreate that in some way.
Mm.
So if it was that social aspect and being with your friends, go find that. If it was climbing, going to the beach, go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me, nature.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's also... Now, you're absolutely right, thinking about it, that's where I feel happiest, as, you know, when I'm out in nature, yeah. when I'm out in the environment, where my feet feel planted on the ground. But I also think that can change when you have children as well. You know, there's often, I think, in this society's perception of self-care is that it doesn't include your children.
Oh, yeah.
I have a PhD student. Who's actually studying me time, which is so fascinating.
Yeah, really, like, interesting.
If I say to you, Anna, what's me time? Like, how do you define that? What's that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah. Well, I would say it was when I've got basically not much to do
mm-hmm.
and I'm either by myself or with people I particularly enjoy
mm-hmm.
and give me energy or help me to relax. And, yeah, and it's a time that's very present, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not the Makona ad. Right, so me time can look so, like, what we've yeah. learned is the me time concept looks so different
yeah.
depending on how old your child is, what yeah. season of parenting you're in, but also your values and your non-negotiables. We thought... that me time was going to be about being by myself. Makona ad, making myself a coffee, sitting down, putting my feet up, and just relaxing, utter relaxation. A good portion of our parents tell us that their me time does involve their children.
Sometimes it has to, doesn't it?
Well, so one thing I think we're sort of coming to the conclusion as we're sort of unpacking, you know, what does this concept actually mean to parents, is that it depends on how much autonomy you have around what you're doing.
That is so interesting.
So have I chosen to go ride the bike with my child and the rest of the fam? Or have they asked me to go ride with them and it's something I really don't want to do? If I'm doing it because it's my choice and I know that it's going to bring me joy, then that's great self-care. And that's a good example of self-care when your children are involved. But there's also that self-care where you do just want to be alone and doing something solo or with your best mate or whatever, and that's okay too. So it really comes down to what have you chosen to do? You've chosen this activity
yeah.
because it's going to bring you joy, then
yeah.
absolutely. If you're doing it because you feel you have to do it, it's likely going to bring you resentment.
Yeah. Yes. Been there. Got their T-shirt. The old carrying the bikes home
yeah,
after
yeah.
a miserable time. Cool. What other self-care things could we be doing? The autonomous stuff I think is really important. I think this.
It really is. I also think, you know, that the oxygen mask on yourself first, I know it's cliche, but it's an analogy that we all can relate to.
Yeah.
If we aren't healthy and if our cup isn't full, we can't serve our children. We can't be the best for them. And it's about giving ourselves as parents space and permission to put our oxygen masks on first without feeling guilty. And that can be really, really tricky. So I think sometimes it's about being consciously aware of, I might be feeling guilty doing this, but I shouldn't be feeling guilty because I know it's going to serve me and my family better once I've actually done this.
Yeah, I'll be a better person because of it.
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself.
So one of the things that we found was a protective factor for parents not experiencing parental burnout was their own emotional regulation strategies.
Oh, nice.
So those parents who had challenges regulating their own emotions, particularly around parenting,
mm-hmm.
were more likely to experience higher levels of parental burnout. Yeah. And if you sort of think about that, actually, by, you know, if things get tough, taking yourself out of the room and saying to your child, I just need a break. Yeah. I just need a few minutes. Yeah. I need a breather. That's actually really good modelling. Mm-hmm. We want to be modelling and being a positive example for our young people, our children and our young people, that when things get tough, and things will get tough, that there are things that we can do to remove ourselves from feeling like that.
Yeah.
And so I think also, you know, that's a, don't be afraid of doing that. We shouldn't feel like we have to be holding the whole world on our shoulders and keeping everything together at the expense of our well-being. So don't be afraid to you know, use your really cool emotion reg strategies and model them to your children as well.
I don't know about you, but I'm totally bummed that I have to leave this cordial here. But I want you to know that if you want any more information about this, email us at hello@realparents.org and we can give you information to support your, you know, interests and curiosity in this. And watch the space in terms of the international study that Kara's talking about here, because this is exciting, mahi, hey. What a pleasure talking to you. I really want to thank you for your time, your energy, your passion, your interests, and being so willing to share all of that. Many, many thanks always.
Thanks, Anna. Likewise.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing. Bye!